I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Coming up on TMS, dogs must be accompanied by an emotional support human.
To be or not to be.
The $34 $20 bill.
When life gives you Kim vacations, use Carter.
Sometimes you have to say the period.
Sexual aids for Larry.
Diary of a MapQuest murderer.
Is the shit kosher?
What's this wire for? Snip!
Scott's unforgiven avoidance of parasite.
A laptop named Bill.
What's in the bag? What's in the bag?
Well, I wouldn't look in that bag if I were you. Sorry. On the fresh, hot backside.
Defecation, delicatessen, desecration.
The most Terry Pratchett clip with Amy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
When you have a bad day, give up. Go home and sleep. F*** it. Try again tomorrow. Some days are f***ed and cannot be un-f***ed. When you have a day that is f***ed beyond repair, that is the universe speaking to you, sending you a message. Listen to the universe. Go home. Save your energy. Tomorrow is another day. For now, just f***ing chill.
Mrs. Peacock was a man?
The Morning Stream. I got a middle finger.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to TMS for Friday, September 30th, 2022. I'm Scott, and that's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Oh, hello. Happy Friday to you. Ooh, it's weird. It's weird in here on a Friday.
It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
Ooh. We're doing it a slightly different time, 10 a.m. Friday. That's because the internet went out yesterday while the show was going. Stream started out fine, and then pre-show, I should say.
Yeah.
And after a bunch of wrestling around with problems and resets and all that, turns out it was a physical line cut, and I couldn't do nothing about it. So we're making up for it now. Okay.
Sometimes there's just nothing you can do but say, if it.
Yeah, and guess what? Having a backup ISP makes no difference if they share like a joint, whatever you call it, like a little fork.
Sure.
They share that, and that's what got cut. And now I'm just like, well, all right, why do I pay for both of you?
Right, it's basically just... you know, it's getting the same burger from two different fast food places. Well, all right, both if the meat stops, if the cows stop producing the meat,
they start becoming
artificial.
We're at that whatever choke point the cows are. That's the choke point I hit with the internet yesterday. Hopefully, that means we're all good. I mean, I was able to stream all yesterday afternoon, no issues. I had some sort of sloppy early fix time that it kind of fixed itself over time. But the rest of the day, great. Core went off without a problem. It went really long, 3.5 hours. Good Lord. That was a long show. And now we're here. So
holy cow. Really? Wow. Yeah. Is that pre-show and regular show, or is that all just regular show?
So the show itself, the pre-show was 18 minutes. The post-show, or sorry, the show was 3 hours, like six or something. And then post-show was another like 15 to 20. So it's a beast. It was a lot. But it's always long. It's always about 2.5, but we usually don't hit the 3 hour mark. That was crazy.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. You want to have us go long, have big news like Stadia being canceled. Have that come up, and then we'll have a lot to talk about. So
now the big question is, Kim's been gone for 24 hours.
Yep.
What have you eaten?
Well, I'm having a Coke Zero for breakfast. And I had no, actually I did okay. Last night, Carter, while I was doing the core, Carter went to the food trucks. We have a Thursday night food truck thing that's a regular thing around here.
Cool.
And so she and her friends went over there, and they got me a barbecue thing.
Okay.
It was like chicken, butter chicken something with beans and like just your kind of barbecue-y thing. So I did okay last night. It was fine.
Good. Good.
Yesterday for lunch, Carter made, there's a lot of Carter
as
help.
Long as, yeah, as it sounds like as long as Carter can fill the role of of food prep and delivery.
I didn't really realize it until I noticed her name has come up three times now, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not really fending for myself this week, but
it's the same, yeah.
Yeah, but she gets home, let's see, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, she gets home at like afternoon, and it'll all be good. She's out there now and doing fine. Everything's going good. She said it was a little bit weird, though, because they went to her sister's house, which is the scene of the crime. And there are still bullets like lodged into the garage wall.
God, I was thinking about that. Yeah, that it's got to be just really hard for her sister just being there in that house.
Yeah, she kind of can't wait to move. She's gonna get out of there as soon as she can. But you know, it's good. She's got family around. Her parents are there. And the cops. This is kind of weirded me out. The cops did an investigation, but they left bullets in things. And I thought part of that investigation process would mean the extraction of bullets from walls and stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess today some inspector's coming by that's working for her lawyer that will now look at all this. So maybe they have to keep some of that in there for
insurance purposes. That would make sense, right? All right, we finished our investigation, but in order for you to get reparations, then we need to leave things in the state so that you're adjuster can see them.
Yeah, so they're going through all that right now, and it's all real lame. But Kim's like, it was really weird seeing all these bullet holes, knowing where he was standing, like just all that stuff. Ugh. It's just weird, man. Anyway, should be home Sunday. Life will go back to somewhat normal around here, and we got Halloween to look forward to, so there's that.
Hey,
I also watched Unforgiven. Don't ask me why, it just did. So I took
You don't have anything else on your list, so might as well.
Here's the reason. Well, here's partially the reason. I didn't have to act on it, but I did. Dunaway's been trying to forever try to talk us all into thinking Tubi TV is a cool place to go.
Right? Oh, sure.
And I thought, well, let me go see if these commercials are egregious or like how bad this is. Like, is it, what's their selection like? And actually, I'm kind of impressed with the selection. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. But I didn't know that, and just naturally using the Brave browser, this kicked in. But if you use some other browser with an ad blocker, you don't get into the ads at all.
Right. So, it's almost as if you're watching not Tubi TV.
Yeah. It's like I'm watching it on something else. And as far as I know, Unforgiven wasn't showing anywhere else. So I had it go for a little bit. And I was like, oh, yeah, Sally Two Trees. We never really got any closure with her and them. Oh, yeah, Morgan Freeman's character. It turns out kind of sad, doesn't it? I don't remember exactly. And before I know it, I'm watching the whole gosh dang thing again.
Wow.
And it's great, by the way.
Well, of course it is.
Unforgiven holds
that. We know that thing's great. There's no...
holds up, man.
No question.
Like, you watch it now and you don't even feel... It doesn't feel like a movie made in 92. Feels like something you could have just made yesterday. But anyway, it's very good. Recommend it. Cool. It's on Tubi with commercials if you're watching it on your television. But if you're on a browser, you can get around this stuff.
Yeah, and not streaming anywhere else. Commercial free.
Not that I know of. I didn't look that hard, but, you know, it's usually the way it works. And then they'll rotate it back on. Netflix will get it for a while, and they'll lose it and whatever. But anyway, it was fun. Cool. Okay, Brian, you texted me yesterday and said, I have the ultimate lift story. I can't wait for tomorrow. So now I'm dying to hear what happened. Yeah, oh, we got to play intro. Hold on. Intro.
Play the intro.
Here it is. Be courteous and obey traffic regulations.
All right, go for it.
And I even said in my message, I'm currently on the strangest Lyft ride I've ever given. It's not like, ooh, just finished a weird Lyft ride. No, I was actually able to send you a message while this weird Lyft ride was
going
on.
And that said it was from Siri's help. Did you have to say this out loud? And could they hear you?
I did say it out loud. So, all right, let's get to the story.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. So, doing Lyft yesterday, dropped somebody off in a little part of town called Cherry Creek. Cherry Creek is the Beverly Hills of the Denver area. It's the pricey area. It's the, like, all the fancy restaurants and the expensive shopping mall and the, you know, the furs and jewelry stores and stuff like that.
Sure.
And a salon, apparently. So I, I get a new Lyft ride. And then it says note included with Lyft ride, which means that the person who requested the Lyft ride has sent me a text message, usually to say, here's the gate code, or come around to the west side of the building. It was where I'm at, et cetera. Like, it's usually something along those lines.
Right.
Like, okay, makes sense.
Right.
And I sent you the message that they sent me, and I'll read it now for the chat room. It says, hey, if it's okay, I left my money at work. I'm going to have one of my coworkers just give it to you to drop off to me. Nobody's actually going to be riding, if that's okay, period. They didn't say period. They didn't even put a period there. I just added that because it belonged there. I love
that they would
have
said period. That would have been great.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you a $10 tip. Okay. I reply back, okay, sure. I'm thinking, wow, you know, probably left their paycheck at work, or maybe they left wallet with $200 or something like that. And I'm looking at the ride, and it is a 12 and three quarter mile drive, 31 minutes that it's going to take me to pick up from point A and deliver at point B. So, all right, cool, interesting.
Yeah,
I pull up to this hair salon. And I flip the little button that says, I've arrived. And somebody on their phone comes out and says, here you go. And hands me a $20 bill.
Okay.
Folded $20 bill.
All right.
And I kind of look at her like, this is it. She's like on the phone. Yep. Thanks. And then she gets back to her talk and runs back into the salon.
Weird.
$20 bill.
Yeah.
That cost them, I looked it up, $34 to deliver, not including the promised $10 tip that I still haven't received.
Oh, so they didn't even give you the tip, but still
they didn't give me the tip. But I don't, at this point, I don't care about the tip. I'm thinking to myself, I have 31 minutes on this drive. I have 31 minutes to try and think of, all right, how is this a scam? How am I getting taken advantage of? How am I getting bamboozled? Like, should I not have touched that $20 bill with my actual fingerprints? Is it used? Was it used in a crime and they're turning it over to the police?
Yeah.
Is there drugs all over the $20 bill? Are these just the stupidest money launderers ever? Like, yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Weird. I did unfold the bill just to make sure there was nothing weird inside, like a little baggie or anything. No, it was just a $20 bill folded in fourths. Oh, so I get to the delivery point, and it's this young kid. I'm thinking the whole time, I'm thinking, God, there's got to be a great story behind this. And I was currently on the ride when I texted you, like, wait till I tell you about this bizarreness of basically. Well,
no wonder you were saying it out loud, because you're talking, there's a 20 in the car. Yes, it's not a person.
All I'm carrying is Alex. No, not Alexander Hamilton. Who am I carrying? I'm carrying, oh God, why can't I remember who's on the 20 all of a sudden?
I can't think of it.
Just how little we use paper money these days. Jackson, yeah. Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson, the racist Andrew one. Jackson. Yeah, he's on there.
Right, exactly. Yes. So we're, you know, I'm driving, and like all in my head, I'm thinking, oh, okay, maybe there's this is on somebody else's expense account and they're really trying to stick it to somebody,
yeah,
and they just needed something to put in the ride to do or whatever.
Yeah.
I get to the location. I pull up, and kid comes out, maybe 22, 23 year old kid, roll down the window, and I say, here you go. And I said, just out of curiosity, how much did it cost you for me to drive this down? He's like, $20. And which I know is a lie, because I looked it up.
Yeah, you have access to it.
I have access to that. And I said, so why? And he said, oh, well, I've got a lot of DoorDash credits that apparently work with Lyft. And so I just used DoorDash credit to get my $20 delivered from my work. And I'm thinking,
weird.
Still, you could use that $20 of DoorDash credit to pay, I don't know, for DoorDash? I mean,
yeah.
Is this $20 so crucial? Like, you needed this cash in hand for some sort of transaction that you couldn't have done with a credit card or with a debit card or something like that.
Do you feel like it was part of some desperate drug deal or something weird like that?
I don't think so because, I mean, what, you know.
Had to have cash. I don't know.
It seems like the tougher part of the drug deal is the transportation of the drugs, not the passing along of the money.
Yeah.
feels like the money transaction could have been done. If I was going to carry anything, it would have been the drugs.
I'm really curious. Like, I need to know. How are we ever going to find out?
I know. And that's the last I'm going to know of this whole story. But it was not a very satisfying answer from this kid about why he spent $34, 15 of which, I mean, I got 15 for that drive. Again, not including the promised and never received $10 tip.
That's really weird.
My opinion on that is, yeah, the not getting a tip is fine because the story itself is worth it. And I had to save, I mean, basically I took screenshots of all of this stuff because doesn't seem like anyone would believe me if I told them the story. Yeah, I delivered a $20 bill halfway across town.
That does seem like an odd thing to tell anyone ever. It's a very weird idea.
Protection in case shit goes down and I need to show the police. No, here's the text message I got. Here's the way bill. Here's the information.
No, that's wild, dude. What a weird thing. I wonder if you...
I mean, I could have taken the 20, canceled the ride, and he would have come out ahead.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah, he would have had more money in the end.
He would have had more money in the end.
Did you consider swapping one of your 20s with their 20 just to see?
Hell no.
No?
There was a little part of me thinking, I wonder if this is some sort of weird test of, you know, like driver honesty, like, you know, I said, all they gave me was this $10 bill to give to you, or give them a different 20. And they'll say, the serial number doesn't match the 20 we gave you. What did you stop and get a coffee on the way?
Weird. The 20 was a good passenger. It didn't ask for water and didn't change to the station like the music you played.
It didn't ask for the heat to be turned up. Didn't open the window. Well, God, good thing it didn't open the windows.
No kidding, right? Dang.
Yeah, but it's just thing. I've driven a laptop before, which made sense because somebody needed it for work.
Sure.
The roommate said, yeah, here you brought it to the car. Here you go. And I delivered downtown Denver, but I've never had to deliver a $20 bill. And I don't think I'll ever have to deliver a $20 bill ever again.
Yeah, that's why. That's a great story, though. You're going to be able to, you know, this is why I love your Lyft stuff, because there's always something weird.
Yeah,
the potential for odd is always there. It's just a matter of, are you going to hit it or not?
It really is. Yeah. And the two rides I had after that, I told them the story and I said, what do you think? What what's the deal? And we were all trying to come up with reasons as well and couldn't do it.
I didn't know that you could, that the service even had a way for you to take stuff to people. I just thought it was people. I didn't realize
technically
that.
I mean, they treated it as a ride. I was transporting a laptop that was named Bill, basically. Nice. Is really what it came down to. I've even seen Lyft rides take dogs before without people, and it's just basically getting it from a dog sitter back to the owner, and they don't have access to a car or something.
I didn't realize it basically just use it as a courier service. I didn't know that was a thing you could do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, maybe next time you get a 50.
I don't know how they feel about it. If Lyft would have a problem with me or with somebody transporting a dog, but.
They couldn't get mad at you, could they? Because you're just responding to the call. And
yeah, but I could say, no, I can't take a dog without a human.
I see. So you could have turned down this 20.
If it was a service dog, yeah, as long as there's a human companion with it. But
right. But if you could have turned down this 20, there's no reason to. So you know.
Yeah, I could have.
And they don't have rules somewhere explicitly saying anything, any of this stuff? Because that just seems that seems crazy to me that they wouldn't have at least some rules. Because what would stop you from, like, what if somebody said, look, I've got 8 pounds of marijuana. It's legal here in Colorado. And I just need to move this somewhere. You would be technically breaking trafficking laws, I think, even though the weed itself is legal.
It's true, exactly.
Yeah.
And Lyft, you know, I've taken food before too, right? Like, you know, you pick up food at some place and you deliver it to somebody, and it's still just considered Lyft. It's not considered DoorDash or Uber Eats or Grubhub or anything like that. Lyft does have some sort of connection to one of those. Obviously not Uber Eats, but one of the other ones. And I don't know which one, but prescriptions, food, auto parts. I mean, I'm able to do that.
Can you pick up?
I'm just looking to see if there are any rules or anything.
Should pick up sexual aids at the drugstore. You know, a box of condoms for some guy named Larry in the
right. Yeah, exactly. Look, if it's that's the question. Let's say I get a bag folded over, but not stapled, not taped, nothing like that, and it's like, you know, pot brick sized. But the opening is folded over.
Yeah.
Now me, I would basically take a picture of it when it's put in my car, take a picture of it when I arrive at the place so that you see the timestamps on the two so that people can say, yeah, you know, those wrinkles match exactly. That bag was not moved, or opened or anything like that. But anybody else out there, would you open it, Scott? Like, would you say, I've got to know what's in there?
Oh, if it's not sealed is the big kicker, right?
Right, exactly. No, you know, there'd really be no way for the recipient to know that you just peeked in the bag. There's no staple, there's no tape, there's nothing.
I might look. I'm trying to think, you know, like what circumstances would make it so I would like be... If it was just like a lunch bag... Barely folded over, not even tightly folded, just sort of hanging there.
You mean a brown paper bag, not a lunch bag, like it says Taco Bell.
Right, not like that. Like, no, yeah. I don't need to look at that. But if it's just a brown paper bag, nondescript, and it felt like a little brick in there, I think I'd peek. I think I would. Even though I think I shouldn't, I think I would. If I'm being honest, like I would be so freaking curious. And also, if I'd committed to a thing, I'd kind of want to know. Like, if I looked at it and went, oh, my gosh, this is a brick of cocaine, I'd call the cops and, you know, I'd immediately, like, turn this shit over and get it out of my car is what I would want to do. So, yeah, I think I'd peek. If it was sealed, no.
Yeah, well, of course.
I'm not going to open it that way, even though it's not mail. I mean, I'm not.
BioCal has the best answer. What if there was a phone live streaming at the bottom of the bag facing up? So in other words, it is literally a ceramic brick with a phone, an iPhone pointing upwards with the live streaming.
What would be live streaming? You? Or they would be filming
live
you?
Streaming to see if the driver opens the bag.
Basically. Oh, I see. So they're filming me opening it. Then they would have my face.
Yeah. And then you'd get stitches, I think. per the snitches v. stitches case of 1972.
Sure. That was an important case. Case law has never been the same case. since then.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's all Mark Rober. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know, but I'd love this.
I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't open the bag.
You know, the more we talk it through, I think this is good, because if I ever am faced with this, I don't think I'd look at the bag.
Yeah.
Because then if I took it, at the very least, I would dump it off and it's out of my hands. And then if it turned into a big thing, I could say, I had this bag. I took here's a photo of the bag that I took. And then here's where I dropped it off. And I took a photo of that. Mm-hmm. And I did what the app told me to do. And there's nothing in the terms of service to say I can't do this. So you'd be in the clear that way and never know. You know what? You're right. That's the way to do it. I'd still be curious as shit, though.
Oh, for sure. And I would, without a doubt, when I got to the recipient, I'd say, can you tell us, so what's in the bag? What did I just drive somewhere?
Yeah.
And if they're like, I'm not telling you, then I know it's coke or pot or something.
Yeah. What if they pulled
out it's a copy of Candyland for my kids.
Candyland.
You just basically hauled Candyland across town.
That's great. Chutes and ladders. You know, I collect them all.
Right.
Got a good deal on it. That's fantastic. What a great story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, may more of that happen in your lifting experience.
Let's hope. I'm going to do a little bit more. I'm going to go see My Chemical Romance tonight, thanks to listener shoot, I had his name in front of me. Anthony, I think it is.
That's cool.
Yeah, just he bought tickets he couldn't use, and they changed the date, basically, is the problem.
Oh, the band did?
He wasn't able to make the new date. Yeah, the band changed the dates.
Oh, and they didn't get, wow, usually get options for, maybe they did have options for refunds or something when they do that.
They probably did, and I imagine they would have to, right?
Yeah, you'd think so.
I would think so. So he's like, you want these tickets? And I looked, and they're like, 10th row, first level 10th row.
Yeah. Do you like My Chemical Romance? Are you a fan?
I could name maybe 5 My Chemical Romance songs.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at their...
So...
I don't even know if I can do that.
Like, Welcome to the Black Parade, Teenagers, Na 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 Na, something like that.
Yeah.
Na 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 Na.
Oh, that song, yeah.
Yeah. What else? What else?
A song called something Last Words, Final Last Words, Famous Last Words.
The Decay of My... Ineptitude or something. I mean, there are a lot of songs that sound like the literal verbal equivalent of.
Well, maybe you'll come away a giant mega fan.
You know? Oh, I might. You know what? I think regardless, it's going to be an awesome show. Like it's going to be bombastic and big, and you know.
Oh, okay. It's interesting. Here's their timeline. They founded in 2001, I think, two, something like that. Played all the way up till 2013, disbanded, said, we're out. We hate this band. We're done.
Okay. You quit. Uh-huh.
And then 2020, they got back together. They were like, hey, man, it's a pandemic. We should make music in our basements. And they did. So now that's why they're back. So you get to see them on the fresh, hot the backside comeback of this.
Tour. Yes, yeah. Exactly. We needed the money tour.
Very nice. All right. Yeah, Nikki wrote in. I'm looking
forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
I think so, too. I hope something weird happens there, you know?
Yeah.
All I care about is content. I want Brian to get peed on or something weird. And then,
oh, thanks.
I mean, I don't want
I'm
you.
Sure I'm sure there's a better thing that could happen to me than getting peed on that would still be good content.
I hope you see someone else get peed on. That's what I want.
Okay, there we go. That'd be good.
Yeah, I don't want you to get pee on you. Nikki Ackermans wrote in. We know her. She's smart. She clones sheep. She's great.
She was a runner-up on the third season of ANTP.
That's right.
She's awesome.
And now she's got an
parlayed into a DTNS career.
That's right. She has some cool new gig at some, not zoo, but like a research animal thing that she's all excited about. Anyway, Nikki wrote in and says, Dear Stem and Bow, when talking about Scott's cruise ship adventure, you asked if anyone who worked on ships wanted to ride in. Well, not only am I your friendly neighborhood sheep scientist, but I also worked on yachts for a few summers, and all of my family is in the industry. My dad and grandpa are naval engineers. Uncle is a captain, and my brother is a chef. Maybe she means chief, probably chef. Oh, no, chef on the boat.
She definitely means chef.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. I guess I mean chef on one of these boats. I suppose is what she means.
A lot of the yachts actually have so when you rent a yacht for a week for $250,000, I worked for a website for a lady down in Fort Lauderdale. So probably the ships that the Ackermans were on, where you see prices for these things for like a week. And it's like, yeah, you get a full crew. And some of these bedrooms look better than your bedroom in your house.
And how much are those usually, do you think, for a week?
$235,000 to $250,000 a week to sail to the whatevers, the Azores or the
that's a lot.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Buy a cheap house for that.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible. Yeah. Anyway, she says, I was a deckhand since the stewardesses spent most of their time cleaning and not enjoying the outdoors wherever the boat was. So she liked working on the deck.
Cool.
Anyway, I have lots of stories and quirks about mega rich people on a huge boat. And she gives us a little list. One time our generator died, so we had to eat all the Wagyu beef and lobster before the freezer thawed. That was a shame.
Darn.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. My main job was to get up every morning, jump off the bow, and line up all the jet skis outside for the guests in the morning, even if they didn't plan on using them. I also had to consistently wash things that had already been cleaned, including outdoor ceilings, which made a drop of ice cold water drip down my armpit and is probably the reason I couldn't bear the job.
Like you're cleaning the ceilings. Like,
I hate that feeling. Ugh. Especially if it's cold. Ugh. Blah. Yeah. Says I had to wake up a few times in the middle of the night to make sandwiches for the guests coming back from parties. Makes sense. Ooh, I don't know if I want a 2 a.m. sandwich from someone who's just sleeping prior to that. Yeah. Anyway, I was the youngest, so I was stuck on watch from 3 to 6 a.m. looking for floating ship containers that didn't get picked up on the radar. Talking about Scott's weed question, it's illegal to have drugs and guns in international waters. My uncle once got arrested because of a certain D-O-double-G because of this. I assume she means...
don't know. Snoopy Poopy Poop Dog. Poopy Dog. Who she must be talking about.
Interesting. Then we go on here to say when crossing the Atlantic, there's usually a party halfway through to baptize sailors who make the crossing for the first time. For us, it meant saving all the food scraps from the first half of the trip and dumping them onto the poor sailors, then hosing them off the fire hose while dressed as Poseidon. Crossings are boring. We had to stay entertained, she says. I have more stories. Awesome. Happy to share them. Best, Nikki. Well, that's great, Nikki. That's awesome. Yeah. If that kind of debauchery has happened on a small boat, I guess, you know, there's got to be some kind of stuff going on big cruise ships that we just never hear about.
For sure, yeah.
You know, I don't know what, but...
Yeah, that's, you know, we went The Secret Life of the Cruise Ship or whatever the documentary you watch. I want the cruise ship After Dark.
Oh, yeah,
which
dude.
Is probably sadly one of those stupid Bravo shows, isn't it? It's going to be like, Below Deck.
Well, who was it? Was it FilmSack or Randy or somebody was saying that there's a lot of sex on those... The cruise
we were saying it here because we found a top 10 things you didn't know about cruise ships when we were looking up the confirmation on that I-95 thing.
Oh, right. It was here.
And there was a, there was like a list of all the things that you wouldn't expect happen on boats. And one of them was,
all the sex. Yeah.
One of it was sex. Yes.
Yeah. Putting the wieners to the vaginas. That's what you do.
Just firmly pressing one up against the other.
That's right. You got to get it in. All right, we're gonna now do some news and see how that goes. So enjoy this. It's time for the news brought to you by
Now Live on Kickstarter until the end of the day. Lycan, Solomon's Odyssey, Chapter 2, a beautifully illustrated 72-page graphic novel continuing the story of the world's first werewolf. This book delves into ancient Arabic folklore, mythology, and horrifying monsters while also touching on themes of PTSD and grief and opening the world up to magic. Please check it out and share it with others by going to www.lycanbook.com. That's LycanBook.com.
Fantastic. All right, yeah. this is a weird story, and I never saw this, so I don't know who this kid is, but I have a picture of him, so people can help me identify him. But anyway, the Diary of a Wimpy Kid actor, turns out, murdered his mom.
Cool.
And also admitted to a plot to kill the Canadian Prime Minister. You know, that handsome guy.
The Trudeau.
The Trudeau, what a handsome man. Says here from the an actor from the beloved 20th Century Fox movie franchise, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Is it beloved?
Don't know, because I've never seen it. I can't speak to whether it's beloved or not.
Because doesn't it just exist? Like, it's just a thing. Yeah. It's anyway, whatever.
He was also on Riverdale, Supernatural, and iZombie.
All right, so a bunch of WB style things.
Yep. In a movie called Liz. Oh, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, which I did want to see, but I never did.
Yeah.
That's the it's another one with what's his face that was made that was released after his death, the Joker.
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the what's his name? The Monty Python guy.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name. Terry Gilliam. There we go.
Terry Gilliam.
I never saw that one. I've seen all his movies.
I never did either. Yeah, it's one I wanted to see.
Yeah, never saw that one. I think I was sad. I think I was like, I don't want to see this last movie made thing.
Sure.
It was annoying to me. Anyway, so here's the deal. This kid did all this. Gary Orion Grantham, he's now 24 years old, pled guilty to second-degree murder in March after killing his mother and the British Columbia Supreme Court began to hear his case this week. According to CBC, he shot his 64-year-old mother in March of 2020, allegedly loaded his car the next day with three guns, ammunition, a dozen Molotov cocktails, camping supplies, and directions to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's family house.
It's those printed out MapQuest directions that get you every time.
Every time. Damn it, MapQuest. Damn you. Grantham allegedly
just put it on your phone.
He admitted to his plans to kill the prime minister to the police, as well as excerpts from his private journal to read in court. Let's see. He never made it to the residence, turned himself in Vancouver. Court hearing is underway. Let's see. They revealed that he rehearsed the murder and took videos. He also recorded videos confessing to the murder after killing and showed his mother's body. Boy, this guy's needs some help pretty bad.
Yeah. Hope he's able to find it.
I hope so. I don't know how you go from not that making movies makes you better, but you know, it's a, seemed like he was doing fine. You know, all this stuff going on and then bam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mental health. All right, moving on.
No joke, man. No joke.
No joke indeed. Here's one. This one is kind of a joke. Man caught urinating and defecating on ex-wife's grave.
I guess, that's...
Yeah.
He got the last laugh.
Yeah, he did. A New Jersey man was caught urinating on his ex-wife's grave near 5 decades after their divorce.
Wow.
Michael Andrew Murphy was horrified as he captured this desecration on September 18th. The gravesite is in, in the Tappan Reformed Church Cemetery in Orangetown, New York. It was the resting place of his mother Linda Torlello. None of that matters.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Murphy told local news outlets that his mother's ex-husband was leaving feces and urine on his mother's headstone for months.
Aww.
Apparently holding on to a grudge from the 1970s. The suspect, 68-year-old Dean Etchler, was briefly married to Torlello before they divorced in 1974. They've had no contact since 76. They were only married for a year. They had a bad breakup, says Murphy. This shouldn't happen to anyone. So the guy's got such... he said he and his sister started finding deli bags filled with feces at their mother's grave in April. Deli bags full
deli
of feces.
Deli bags.
I don't like this at all.
Coupon rye?
Yeah. You like the you want the pepperoni?
Is this shit kosher?
Gross.
Man, get over it, dude. It's over. It's done. It's past.
Yeah, I feel like this is a. Well, again, you know, I can't get into other people's heads, but this much time, you're just gonna say, yeah. Oh well, now she's dead. I'm gonna poop on her grave a whole bunch.
Golly.
Very, very weird. Jeez. It's very weird. So there's that. Watch for that, everybody. If you go to a grave and you see a bag, a deli bag,
run! Don't pick it up. Don't touch it.
Yeah, get out of there. Anyway, he's in trouble. I don't know what you do for that, though. I don't know what the law is that you're breaking when you're doing that. It might just be public
desecration. Is there a desecration?
Like a grave thing? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if, I don't know if there's an actual law.
My mom used to say that. She used to say, if you walk on graves, they'll arrest you. She'd tell us when we were little.
No way, really?
She was lying, but she said that. Yeah. And that was just her way to have us not get on graves.
Sure, exactly, respectful and walk between them. I would just say, if you walk on the graves, when they come back to life, they can reach through and grab your foot.
That's so not bad. That's just as realistic
for me.
Yeah, just as realistic of a story. I would have preferred that. The funny thing is, though, it's kind of our fault. It's adults' fault because we make cemeteries. Modern cemeteries have a lot of headstones that are flat to the earth, right?
Sure.
Not necessarily ones that stick up. So when you go to some of them, especially this one out here where my dad's buried, every gravestone is just like an equidistant skipping stone. Like
right, like a paver.
Yeah. And so when you put a bunch of kids in there and they see this grid, this checkerboard of fun things to jump on, what do we expect them to do?
You're basically saying, look at this big game of hopscotch we found for you.
Yeah, yeah, they're 6 years old. They don't know. So go easy on the children. Someone think of the children. All right. Here's a fun story. I don't know how I'd feel about this. A box of 200 mosquitoes did the vaccinating in a malaria trial. And that is not a joke. One Seattle morning. Carolina Reed, rather, sat in a room with 9 other volunteers, each waiting to take part in a clinical trial for a new experimental malaria vaccine. We're always working on that malaria, you know. We got to get that.
Yeah.
Her turn came. She put her arm over the cardboard box filled with 200 mosquitoes and covered with a mesh that keeps them in, but still lets them bite.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yep. literally a Chinese food takeout container is how she remembers it. I doubt it was literally that. A scientist then covers her arm with a black cloth because mosquitoes like to bite at night. Then the feeding begins. The whole arm swelled and blistered, she says. My family was laughing, asking me, why do you subject yourself to this? And she didn't do it just once. She went back and did it five times. You might be thinking,
I hope she got paid a lot for that, but that's interesting. So
they're letting the mosquitoes.
How is the vaccine getting into the mosquitoes? Because it's not a natural, like, oh, we have some mosquitoes that are born with the vaccine, some that are born with malaria. Like, how?
Well, here's how it works. So it's actually not that different than traditional vaccines, but instead they just use the bugs themselves. But anyway, they say, here's what the doctor says. We use the mosquitoes like they're 1,000 small flying syringes, says the University of Washington. Okay. Sure. The lead author on that thing. Let's see. The insect delivers live malaria, causing plasmodium parasites that have been genetically modified to not get people sick. The people still make antibodies against the weakness or the weakened parasites, so it's prepared to fight the real thing one day. So it's really not that different than getting it in a syringe. I don't know why they have to have it this way and not the syringe.
It's not so bad. You're not getting stung by a weird mosquito. That mosquito is just putting parasites in you. Oh, that's so much better.
I mean, it is literally the process that I don't know why this is a thing, because the process of getting a vaccine is often involves either a modified or dead or weakened version of the virus, right?
Yeah, right.
And they inject it into your arm. That's what these mosquitoes are doing. But why? Why not just do the syringe?
Could you?
They don't really tell you here. They don't answer exactly the question.
I mean, is the thinking that, let's say you've got a population that maybe 50% is hearing misinformation about a vaccine and they believe it from Facebook. And so here's a good way to get everybody vaccinated is just fill the area with a million mosquitoes and let that handle it.
Well, they are saying here later on that the doctors or the scientists are theorizing that this will be a better response to the real problem than you would get from a single shot. That getting kind of this.
Oh, really? Wow.
This swarm. The swarm thing is supposed to actually help you be more resistant. So I don't know. Freaking.
Yeah. We're gonna go release these mosquitoes at, I don't know, a Trump rally or Sturgis or. Yeah.
Oh, Sturgis would be great.
Sturgis would be perfect, right? At a Smash Mouth concert.
Yeah. Start him on stage. Have him come out of what's his name? That's it. He'll go somebody, and then it'll go flying out.
like Candyman. But yeah. Instead of bees, it'll be mosquitoes.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna be great. I'm going to Sturgis next time.
Yeah.
All right, check this out. I love this story. Churches using shameware apps to make sure members don't watch any porn. This is great. The Evangelical Southern Baptist Church, known as Grace Point, was caught relying on a little more than God's watchful gaze to keep an eye on members in his congregation. And if the church feels compelled to clarify, it is not a cult. Anyway, members joining Grace Point's congregation are asked to install an app called Covenant Eyes.
Okay.
Which is explicitly marketed as an anti-pornography app. And according to a must-read investigation by Wired, Covenant Eyes spies on members' web traffic, takes a screenshot of their phone screens every single minute, and then sends this information to the accountability partner, in quotes. In reality, is more like spyware. I mean, that basically is what it is. I don't think this would even run on an iPhone. They're not going to let this in here. This is like Android stuff.
I don't think so, no. Okay, so I'm fine with that. I won't watch any porn, but it's going to take a picture of my screen every minute. And it's going to know that I'm currently at church and not take pictures of my screen every minute all the time. Yeah. Holy crap. I mean, literally, holy crap.
Yeah. And also, I'm not going to join that dumb church. Forget it. This is
Covenant Eyes.
Yeah, Covenant Eyes. Please install this. If you No, I'm good. I'm not coming in. You guys are weird. That's just weird. Even for, look, I don't care if you're... Here's what I think is true.
Yeah, yeah.
People who go this hardcore on this sort of thing are hiding something.
It's always a case of don't protest too much for you. Yeah,
always. Sure. And I'm almost always right about it. I hate being right about it, but it's often true.
Clearly, the head pastor or whatever is big into porn and is like, I've got to make sure nobody watches porn.
Yeah, he's got to overcompensate for his porn use.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's almost always the case. So
could be.
I guess what I'm saying is grace point? No. all right. We're going to take a break, play a song. When we come back, we're going to have some reading time with Amy. She's going to recommend a book. Yeah. I'm very excited about that. So stick around for that. We got to play this song, though. What do you got over there? Burning a hole.
I've got a group called Cave States. They have a brand new LP. It's called Liminal. Just came out last week, earlier this week, September 26th. So it's just a few days since release. These guys kind of remind me a little bit of, like a mellower, Mumford & Sons, maybe Lumineers probably would fit with a concert with them. Anyway, it's really, really good stuff. Here is the first single from the brand new album, Liminal by Cave States. It's called Something for Someone.
Don't take long enough to find lonely ones to looking for a hand from time to time. Just trying to be something for someone, nothing for no one. Something for someone tonight. Always caught on the other side.
You're doing this in the privacy of your own room.
This is The Morning Stream with Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett. By the power of Grayskull.
And we're back. Hey, I have a terrible short-term memory. Who was that band again?
That was, it's only been 4.5 minutes, Scott. That was the band Cave States from their brand new LP, Liminal. And the song is called Something for Someone.
Like subliminal, just without the sub, right? That's the spelling?
That's exactly right. Yep. Nice. Subliminal.
Nice.
That's when they break up into two smaller bands. They'll both be subliminals.
Oh, I thought they were the one that had to wear the collar and the ball gag, and they were the sub. Liminals. No, I don't know how that stuff works. I'm talking out of my element. Hey, look who it is, everybody. It's this person who has this theme. Yes, that's right. Curl up in a ball and grab a couch. We're gonna talk to Amy about books.
How do you relax, Scott?
I don't know. Starting to get a little weird around here. I need Kim to get home. Anyways, Amy, we're gonna read this, and I'm really glad you could postpone a day with us. Thank you, Amy.
Oh, Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, I didn't have anything on my calendar today, so it worked out well.
Oh, that's awesome. Perfect, perfect. Well, good. We're going to get right into it. I can tell already from what you sent me that you're probably excited about this one, because this is a book you really like. Any setup before I play that?
No, this is... So my only setup is, you know, we did some hard work. We covered some hard stuff last week, so yep. I decided it was time to take a little vacation. And when I want to take a little mental vacation, my favorite place to go is Discworld. So we're going back to Discworld, folks.
Back to Discworld, y'all. All right, here's a clip for you to enjoy.
He tried to read Grimm Fairy Tale. They had titles like How the Wicked Queen Danced in Red Hot Shoes and The Old Lady in the Oven. There was simply no mention of clocks of any sort in any of them. Their authors seem to have a thing about not mentioning clocks. The glass clock of Bad Shoeshine, on the other hand, did have a clock of a sort, and it was odd. A wicked man, readers could see he was wicked because it said he was wicked right there on the page, built a clock of glass in which he captured time herself. But things went wrong because there was one part of the clock, a spring, that he couldn't make out of glass. And it broke under the strain, and time was set free, and the man aged 10,000 years in a second and crumbled to dust and, not surprisingly in Jeremy's opinion, was never seen again. The story ended with a moral. Large enterprises depend upon small details. Jeremy couldn't see why it couldn't have just as well been, it's wrong to trap non-existent women in clocks, or it would have worked with a glass spring.
Oh my gosh, this is the most Terry Pratchett sounding clip I've ever heard. Totally.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's great. That also sounded like an old tape. It sounded like a they recorded this in the 70s and then just said, yep, this is what we're using. It's all good.
Right. Well, yeah. And yeah, surprisingly, this was the from the newer release of the audiobook, which is it has like six or seven different narrators and you know, sounds pretty cool. I actually haven't consumed this particular book on audiobook, but I have read it with my own eyeballs several times. It's called Thief of Time, and yes, it is by Sir Terry Pratchett.
Yeah.
And it's my absolute favorite Discworld book. I love it. This was the first Discworld book I ever read, and I love all of them, and I gobble them all up, but I haven't found one that I like any better than this one. It's got everything. It's got death. It's got Susan, which if you're at all familiar with Discworld, you know Susan is one of the most fabulous characters.
Yeah.
It's got the time monks. It's got basically everything except the watch, you know, everything except the guards in it. And, you know, there's witches, it's all kinds of great stuff. And I just love it. In fact, I confuse, there's a scene or several scenes rather where the four horsemen of the apocalypse get back together. And I often confuse the anthropomorphisms of the four horsemen of the apocalypse in this book with the ones in Good Omens. And which is always fun because I'm like, okay, which version of war do we get in this book? I don't remember, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it's fantastic. The bit you were hearing there about one of the protagonists, there's sort of two, there's a guy called Jeremy who is a little bit odd, but he's obsessed with clocks. He's a clockmaker and he can make ridiculously accurate clocks. Mm-hmm. And that is just what he does. He makes clocks. And then there is another character named Lobsang, who is sort of an acolyte at the Time Monks Monastery. And so it switches perspectives a fair amount. And so the minute you get bored with one thing, he gives you another thing.
Yeah.
And it's great. I absolutely love it. And I don't want to give away too much, but there are the antagonists of the book are the bureaucracy type creatures that are doing the paperwork of the universe. And they're called auditors. And it's It's really fun. They are all about order. And so if you put up a sign that says turn left, but the arrow is pointing right, yeah. you will baffle them, you know? So like there it's that level of, you know, kind of goofiness, but also intrigue. And I just love it. It's good.
How many times have you read it? Is this your first or obviously?
How many times?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I have read this book 4 or 5 times at least. One of the times I read it, this is a great story, actually. One of the times I read this book was when my husband and I were on our honeymoon and we were sitting on the beach and we've got, I'll have to send you this picture, but, because I'll have to find it first, but it's this great picture of us sitting on the beach and we're both back to back and both of us are reading. And that was the book I was reading. And I just turned and I looked at Chuck and I was like, you know what's awesome? Reading. Because at the time I had small children. And so it was like, oh, reading was not something I had time to do.
Yeah.
And so that it was just this great moment. I was like, you know what's awesome? Reading. You know, so
it is awesome. Brian, you were gonna say something.
So the where does this fall in the can I read it as a standalone? If I've never read any other Discworld book, this is a good, I mean, it sounds like it was the first one you read, so it was a good starting point for you.
Yes. Okay. I think this is a perfectly fine starting point. You probably, you know, he gives you enough exposition about who everyone is, that you can absolutely just jump in and read this one.
Okay.
You know, like I say, there's a little bit of background and stuff on characters like Susan, but it's fine. She's Death's granddaughter. That's fine. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
And thus she is conferred with certain preternatural powers. But yeah, like there. And if you like a particular character and want to dig in more to them, there's plenty of books you can go and read more about that character, get more background on them. But yeah, the story is fantastic as a standalone, and it works really well.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
So, yeah. All
right. Cool.
Well, you're my go-to for Terry Pratchett. So if I ever get questions or concerns or thoughts or what should I read next sort of stuff, it's Amy all the way.
Did you ever read Mort?
No, but I have it downloaded on my Kindle. It's just sitting there.
Oh, good. Yeah. So you should totally read it.
I keep getting in there and going, oh, right. I haven't finished Stormlight Archive. I got to do that. And then I forget whatever else I've got queued up. So I'm still digging through that enormous freaking first book. But when I get done, those are lined up. So
yeah, those are like the Discworld books are all fairly quick, easy reads.
Yeah.
Some of them are a little heavier than others, but not this one. This one is great and it's very engaging and it goes quickly. It actually talks about a thing you guys talk about all the time. It's good. It's good to get this one on the last day of September, because I know you guys were talking about, oh gosh, September really just flew. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and Brian always says, no, Scott, it went the same speed it always does.
Yeah.
It addresses that phenomenon it, to some people, it feels like time is going slower than to others.
There's a thief of time, then he's stealing time from Scott and somehow giving it to the
like
rest
a cat
of us.
When they take your breath at night or whatever they do.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't trust them is what I'm saying. Well, that's great. So good, go check it out. Give them the title of this book one more time so they all know where to go and get.
It's called Thief of Time by Terry Pratchett.
Thief of Time. Available everywhere. You get your everywhere. Audio and reading content.
Your shirt is making me think of that little kid on TikTok because you got
corn.
Yes. I just like cone.
Yeah.
It's cone.
Some people see it and go, why do you have a giant can of corn on your chest? And I say, I don't know. You ever heard of this comic called Fred and Can? They're like, no. I'm like, well, then now you go fredandcan.com. And it's a great little marketing tool. Just tell them to go check out the comic.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that kid with the corn fetish, he's, I shouldn't say fetish, the kid who really likes corn. He's awesome. I love that kid.
I do too. He's so joyful about it. He's just like, look at this thing. Yeah. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing.
And the mashups people do with who the guys that always take viral clips and make songs out of them. I can't think of their names now.
Yeah. I don't know their names either, but yeah.
Brian, you probably know these guys.
The Gregory brothers.
That's it.
Gregory brothers. Yeah. Okay.
And they did an amazing version of this kid with his corn. Mm-hmm. It was great. I feel like those guys haven't done anything cool in a while, and that one popped up on my radar, and it's excellent. So find the corn kid. There's your side recommendation for today. If you don't know what we're talking about, that corn kid, he's a happy little dude. And I wish I was.
Well, and I'll go ahead and also give you another recommendation since Wendy is not here. We're doing like substitute Thursday on Friday, but Wendy's not here. I'll do it for her. Real Steps. We're starting on Monday, and you can still sign up at realsteps.org.
Wow. So, very nice. Yeah, I did.
There's lots of other cool people in it. So come join us.
I got a bunch of emails. Oh yeah, it's ending. Like you just said, you got to get in there, guys, get in there, sign up before the cutoff. Cause it's awesome. And ask Amy, she'll tell you, she knows, she knows what's up.
Indeed. It is great. It's great stuff. I've done it 6-7 times now. And I look forward to it every time they do it.
Nice. Well, that's good to hear. And Wendy, if you're listening, she isn't. But if she is, I'm sorry for chasing you down with a cold soldering iron and touching your forehead. All right. That'll do it for our time with Amy. Amy, thanks so much. We'll do this again next week. And have a great one. We'll see you later.
You too. Bye.
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 All right. Look at this here. Toward the end of the show. Well, we're almost done. Oh, you're right. We are a little short today. It's okay.
Yeah, but that's all right. You know, it's
once in a while, it's fine. You know, we just live.
Sure. Sure. I'm not going to put extra padding in my driving a $20 bill lift story just to give people an extra half an hour of content. That'd be disingenuous. And I don't want to be disingenuous.
There you have. Oh, hey, real quick. Yeah. Christine Fletcher email just came in. We're going to have to wedge this in.
All right. Yeah,
we can't ignore this. All right. So
as long as it doesn't begin with, please don't read this email on the air.
I've done that before.
And receive email.
I do that all the time. I hate it. I never read ahead. Anyway, Christine Fletcher says, hello, friends. Heard about this on NPR yesterday, and I'm going to try to sign up. As far as I know, Scott, Morgan, and I have not had COVID, at least not yet. So we could be what they're calling in this super Dodgers. How great would that be? Scott and Kim, you should also check this out. So there's this NPR.org article. It's also part of a show. There's a 6-minute listen on this thing. Anyway, throughout the pandemic, some people have avoided catching COVID altogether despite multiple exposures. Do their immune systems have some type of protection that others are missing? And there's this whole back and forth with this doctor, or this expert, that it's entirely possible that there is a subset of people who just don't freaking get it. And
you could be like the kid, the baby born that can see in the TV show See, where nobody can see.
Yeah, nobody else can see, but the baby can see on See.
See?
Oh, yeah. But I'd give that show
an A. That's cool. I was almost a super Dodger. So close to being a super Dodger.
Well, and you took it. Yeah, Vegas doesn't like Vegas. If Vegas is going to make you not a super Dodger, or if any place is going to,
Place is going to break my super Dodger status.
Yeah. So this is really interesting. I'll have to go listen to it and read it.
Bobby as well. Like, I know Bobby's still clean.
Still clean. Still fresh and clean. Here, Chad, I'll put it in there. You guys can click it. Brian, I'll put it in our Discord. I guess you have access to the chat, but I'll put it in here.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't qualify anymore, but.
Well, thank you, Christine Fletcher, as always, for your feedback and your awesomeness. We love Christine.
Maybe we could have mosquitoes bite you and then come out and bite the rest of us.
Hey, why not? Yeah. Let's do that. Let's go right back to the source. Let's have diseased bats bite us directly. That's what I
want. Perfect. It's a great idea.
I want to put my arm in a hole and come out with 1,000 bat bites. I'm very excited.
Excellent.
All right. That'll do it for us today. Thank you all for listening. And sorry again about the day bump. We can't control some of these things, but they happen. But we're glad to bring it back to you today. In the meantime, patreon.com/TMS is the place to sign up and support this fantastic bit of content that you get so much of in a single month. Why not throw a dollar or more our way? You can do it easily at patreon.com/TMS. For everything else you might be trying to hunt down, you'll find it at frogpants.com/TMS. Brian, we should probably play a song before we leave. Do you got one there?
Yeah, I do have one here. And let me just tell folks that in about an hour, I will do a Guess the Connection, and I'm going to be giving away, if you're in the U.S., hold on, let me get him. If you're in the U.S., you can win Masters of the Universe Grizzlor. Oh, I'm Grizzlor.
Wow.
Oh, you see he's in a box. I'm Grizzlor. And then Ram Man.
Oh, what?
I'm Ram Man.
Yeah. I love Ram Man.
As well as a Cringer adhesive patch for your jean jacket.
Wow.
And a He-Man sticker.
Wow, it's all He-Man all day today. This is great.
It's all He-Man all day. Like I just said, let's just give all this stuff away together.
That's funny. The timing's funny because Carter bought me three little He-Man figures that are for my
I saw dad. Those little yeah. Tweets with those guys.
Yeah, she added Man at Arms the other day, so he's there with his big stupid green.
Is she getting these out of like Gacha Balls or something like that?
No, what, that's what I thought. But she says there's this store her and her friends like to go to that's like a lot of, I don't know if it's like dollar store type place, but it's kind of a single owned one, not a chain. Huh, and once okay. in a while, they get these little He-Man toys, and she's like, "I'll get them whenever I see them." So,
yeah.
For some reason, I'm collecting He-Man, and I don't even like He-Man that much.
Awesome. Oh, there she is. The Tom Norton says cleaning out.
Where do you get these? Sorry, she just walked in with food. You're awesome. Where'd you get this? Dollar store. I don't know what this is called. Oh. Well, we need to get more of these. I want Two Man. I want Ram Man.
Maybe, I don't know, He-Man.
Oh, you got a He-Man. Yeah, I got a He-Man. Skeletor. I don't know if you want a He-Man or not, but there's a He-Man.
Yeah, you do have a He-Man and Skeletor. You have the main two, anyway.
Yeah, the two that matter are here, but I need...
Right.
I need. Oh, they have Prince Adam? Oh, get me Prince Adam.
Like, wow.
And Cringer. Hi. Can you give me Cringer?
This is my stupid dog, Cringer.
Thanks for breakfast. You're awesome. Oh, my gosh. You made me. This
oh,
great.
It's the egg bowl.
Yeah,
rice
the egg
bowl
rice
thing.
Bowl. Mm.
Those always look so good.
She's a good kid. All right. Cool. We're going to. Oh, now song. Sorry. Song time. Oh, now and song. Also, you did Coverville yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to
oh, yeah,
pimp it. So
right.
Tell people how
that went. Yeah, some old Western crooners that I've never done cover stories for before. So it was time to get to them. Gene Autry, Patsy Cline, and Jimmy Rogers did all three in one episode. Nice big episode with lots of music. And if you're not a fan of old crooner music, don't worry. I play a lot of modern covers that don't sound like the originals. Of course, because that's what Coverville is. Coverville.com if you want to go back and listen to that episode, and twitch.tv/Coverville if you want to come and try your hand at Guess the Connection, starting at about either 12 or 12:30 today. I've got the list of the songs. I just need to find the right versions that I want to play.
Nice. Very nice. And you did this during the show time, right? That
we did this right, exactly. When there wasn't a TMS, I just said, all right, I'll do a Coverville.
I'm really glad you did. Gave everybody who showed up of things to watch. That was good.
Yeah, absolutely. And they get to watch me play a deck I'm having a lot of fun with on Marvel Snap right now, which is Lockjaw and Thor.
And that's officially out this month, right?
This month, the 18th, officially next month, because tomorrow is the beginning of October, comes out October 18th. And so... You and I, if we do a series, like basically a series of videos where I explain the game to you and we put those up on YouTube, those will be huge when the game goes live, because people will be looking like, all right, how do I get cards in this game? How do I, how does the ranking system work? How does this work? How does that work?
Right. All right. Well, I've watched you play a few times, but I'm probably going to need advice. I don't know how to play
this game. Oh yeah, for sure. We'll cover all the basics, even the stuff that you know and understand.
Very cool. All right.
Cool. All right. Let's get to a song. Yeah. This one goes out to Xander, who says, "Hey, Sweeps and Bleeps, I'm recommending this fun synth cover of Hotel California because I've gone down a rabbit hole learning about music production with synthesizers lately, and I love the sound engineering that goes into this type of music. Let's see. Whenever you're able to fit this request in, I'd be happy to hear it. You guys are the best. Thanks for all you do, Xander."
Oh, thanks, Xander.
All right. So this is a version by a group called the Moog Cookbook. If you look at any of their albums, you might think that they're Daft Punk because they're wearing space helmets. You can't see their faces. They look like they're trying to be anonymous, that whole thing going on.
Sure.
So that might be the vibe you're getting from them. However, in reality, it's a derivative of the band Jellyfish. If you remember, a 90s band had a big hit with a song called "The King is Half Undressed." Mm-hmm. One of the members, and I want to say I got to pull it up because Roger Manning from the band Jellyfish.
Gotcha.
They're involved with this, and it was such a cool project. They released two official albums, and then if you emailed them directly for a while, you could get their third album, which was called Bartel, which was like B-sides, remixes and things like that.
Really? If you emailed them, then they would just send it to you? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
and that email, I don't know if it works anymore, but that's how I get a hold of it, and it's just great.
I love that.
Yeah, and Matuba, if you, my favorite guitarist of all time is a guy named Jason Faulkner, who is part of Jellyfish during the first album. And I've followed everything in his career since the end, since he left Jellyfish, and I've never been disappointed. Every album of his is fantastic.
Isn't that the one you always tell me is such a great cover?
My favorite cover of all time is his version of Both Sides Now.
Both Sides Now, yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So good. You are correct about it.
All right. Let's get to the Moog Cookbook and their cover of Hotel California. This came out on their second album, which was called Ye Old Space Band. Go check it out right now. Here is the Moog Cookbook.
Nice. Thank you all for listening, and thanks for being flex with us this weekend. Don't forget, we got Film Sack coming up this weekend, as well as a brand new Core went up last night, and there will be Dungeons tomorrow at the normal time. You guys are all awesome. We'll see you then.
We'll be right back. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You're the gay.
Yeah, they're the gay.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.